When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked.
I wonder, friends, if you can remember this man, Enoch Powell. I'm sure we can, and we remember him with different thoughts in our minds. So I thought I'd talk about him for a while. He died when he was 85. That's in 1998, I think it was. An MP for Wolverhampton, if you remember his accent. Looked very smart, very clever. He was actually sacked by Edward Heath. Oh. That brings you back memories, doesn't it? Okay. A classic scholar, an author, a linguist, a soldier, a philosopher, and a poet. But within all that, he was a very controversial person. He once gave this speech in 1968 called River of Blood. And he gave that because he had some great thoughts about what was going to happen to our country. And that speech was telling the world, or the country in particular, and Parliament, that this country was going to, because it caused much anger, it split the country. And this is what he said. He predicted that by so many years, joining the common market would be wrong. He said 20 years, and this country will be taken over by foreign immigrants. And it was so full of anger from the people of this country that they became divided, because people could understand what he was saying. Because he was saying it because of what was happening before this speech that he said. And others were ignoring it because we wanted to say, no, we're a Christian country and we should have as many people in this town or in this country as God wishes to come. I am not talking to you tonight about the right or wrongness of that speech. But the problems that were stated, he went, there would be no schools, there'd be too full. The hospitals will be overrun. The GP surgeries, which we now experience, will not be able to cope with the number of people coming in. Housing would be a problem. Yes. All community of overcrowding would be there. I don't think he mentioned about the emissions from vehicles, but as people have come in, that's where this emission has come in about our vehicles. because there are so many cars and vehicles on the road.
Yeah.
He died when he was 85. And as I was thinking about this as an introduction to you, I've got to say that some people liked him. And they liked his theories. Some people didn't want to like him because of what he was speaking against. What Enoch Powell predicted in 1968, within certain limits, has happened in our country.
Yes.
He's not alive to see the results. We are seeing the results ourselves. And again, without saying right or wrong, his words spoken have come to fruition for today. I believe that some people accepted him as a prophet. Was he a prophet? No. No, because he was giving words for the future on the knowledge that he had at that time. And he wasn't a prophet because he predicted things that will or might happen.
Yeah.
He predicted the facts. This is what I got for the lectionary to preach to you tonight. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ. And the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us who were following from them, that the things which now they have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. And that's in 1 Peter, not the Old Testament, that's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. And I looked at it, and I had Jan to read it, and we didn't know what it really meant. So I had to do something that I haven't done for years. It's called an exegesis. It's looking into different parts of a small portion of the Bible. So if you go back, first of all, we're going to look at prophets. And then next some. The Spirit of Christ, which is written down in this chapter, in this verse. And the next. What was revealed. And the next. Preached the gospel. A prophet is a person who speaks out God's truth to other people.
Amen.
The prophet may never experience what he or she, because there are more than men in the prophet's names, what they have said, they will probably never experience it, because it's about the future that God's telling him or her about. Another name was classed as seers. In other words, I think seers into the future. I read something to you. The primary role of prophets in the Bible was to speak with the people about the words and the will of God in their specific situations. The prophets served as God's megaphones, declaring whatever God commanded them to say. What interesting is that God himself defined the role and the function of the prophets at the beginning of Israel's history as a nation. And this is what it said. I will raise up them as a prophet like you amongst their followers, Israelites. and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell you everything I command him. I myself will call to account everyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet is speaking to you in my name. Deuteronomy 18. That's the most important definition. A prophet in the Bible was someone who spoke the words of God to people who needed to hear them. I've said that there were many prophets, and we very often think about Isaiah, which we'll look at in a moment. But I'm just going to give you a few. There was Isaiah, Hosea, Jeremiah, Micah, and Daniel spoke about Jesus coming to this earth in a prophecy. And it says, this is where the Spirit of Christ comes in, it says in that portion of Peter, the Spirit of God moved within them. Not us. The Spirit of God moved within the prophets. And that gives us a full understanding that the Spirit of God, even though the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost for the church and for us after, the Spirit of God was alive in the Old Testament, and the Spirit of God was speaking to many people in those days. I think it's a shame, and I say this to myself especially, that we haven't dwelt into the Old Testament as much as what we could have done in our lives. I wonder, did everybody accept the words of the prophets when they heard them? Or more so, did they believe it? Peter continues to state that it was the Spirit of God that touched the minds of the prophets. And this gives us the understanding that the prophets did not hear when it was fulfilled. God communicates many times with many people in the Old Testament. I want us to look now at one that you know. We're going to display it. It's Isaiah 53. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to do something as well. I want us to read it together. I'll try and keep a reasonable pace. Are you ready? One, two, three. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. The prophets passed on that word to the Jewish people before Christ to expect the Messiah to come in, a suffering Savior, but also filled with glory.
Hallelujah.
And I ask you this question, I wonder, did everyone listen? I also wonder, did everyone accept those words when they were brought out in the scripture, when they were reading them later in life? And finally, I wonder if they believed them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What more can he do? What is done for us, what more can he do? At the very beginning, God has been giving good news to the world. In the Old Testament, the prophets have been telling us good news.
Okay.
And the world. The New Testament, through the words that's written, have been giving us good news.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And through those words, we receive and accept His love.
Hallelujah.
We have to accept them before we believe them.
Amen.
And when we believe them, we know they're true, because faith is given to us to understand what that means.
Amen.
This revelation to the Jewish people and then to the whole world by the prophets are pointing out that God's precious plan of salvation is for everyone.
Amen.
You could not have anything more important than knowing about the salvation that God in His mighty plan has given to us through Jesus.
Praise God.
If you're a Christian, if you know what the Spirit is saying to you, you will agree with what I'm saying. Because there's nothing on earth that can fulfill your purpose apart from God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The prophets weren't serving themselves. They were laying down words for those that come later. And throughout the years, the gospel of the New Testament has been preached to extend this salvation to those who will receive and believe. Now I give you another line. Do you fully know Jesus by a relationship through the Holy Spirit? The greatest decision that anyone can make is to receive Christ into their lives. Now we come to the word of the angels. Do you know that the angels rejoice over everyone that comes to the Lord and is saved? That's a little bit harder. Do you know? Yes, you do know, because the Bible tells us. Do we accept it? Do we believe it? Because when I know somebody is saved, I rejoice a little. But the Bible tells me that the angels are rejoicing to the extent of any rejoicing you can have. So it makes me feel that we've got to get on with our job. And we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to come and speak through us. Not necessarily by words, but by actions and by the way that we treat people. And by the way we treat each other as well. We've got to set free people from this world in anxiety, stress, and unhappiness. Because when they come to Christ, they won't have any of them. Do you want real peace in your life? This word peace has come up in my mind time and time and time again over the last 6 months. And I recognize that the peace of God is a gift to you and to me. We just have to receive it. With all the anxieties of the world and where you live, the anxieties even within your families, Christ will give you peace to go through anxiety.
Absolutely.
And you'll come out at the end being victorious in His name. Do you want to know by faith that you will spend eternal life in heaven with Jesus? Do you want to know still a purpose in your life that's not yet been fulfilled for Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Then don't get anxious.
Nope.
Just come as you are.
Right.
Take on the humility that Christ has passed on to you by His demonstration of humility.
Right.
And He will make your life right. By confession, old-fashioned words these. By confession, repentance, and forgiveness is the way to keep in touch with God through Christ. Verse 13, which wasn't part of the study. It says, God says, behold, I am holy. Be ready when God calls you home. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Amen.
There shall be no more death. No more sorrow or crying.
Hallelujah.
Neither shall there be any more pain.
Nope. Amen.
For the former things are passed away. Revelation 21. We are living our lives today in the former ways, but that promise is still there.
Hallelujah.
Let's hope that he can say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the kingdom that I have waiting for you.